You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hello, everyone. This is Derek White Sky Cloud. You listen to Between Two Worlds on bbsradio.com. Hey, guys. It's been a really windy day last couple of days. We've had some very high winds up in my territory, especially in British Columbia. I've never seen so many people actually chase their umbrellas down the road. And we've got so many leaves that are flying off the trees that we hardly have any leaves left. So it's quite interesting how we're almost, you know, some people think it's considered the hurricane winds. We had about 60-mile-an-hour winds, 50, 60, sometimes 70-mile-an-hour winds are just tearing away and power going out in different locations, so it's quite interesting in the areas of British Columbia. Yeah, and tonight I'm actually going to share with you basically tonight will be a mediumship night, so anybody who wants to call in and ask any questions, these are going to be the toll-free numbers right now, the 877-876-5227. Those in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-815-9756 and 888-815-9756. International lines, 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I'd like to welcome all those who are actually in the chat rooms today. We actually have the BBS Radio chat room. Folks are coming in, slowly coming in the door. We also have the Pal Talk great room that's also open. Those are actually listening in. You can actually go into Pal Talk as well. And that is, I'm listed under mediumship messages on Between Two Worlds Radio. So you can actually listen to that show live on this side. And also, if anyone else who wished to have a chat, and those who want to actually ask a question besides just mediumship, please don't be shy of phone in. Now, those of you who remember, I actually interviewed Chris Booth a couple weeks back on my show, who actually has been responsible. He's one of the guys that actually was a producer and director who actually has been involved with Children of the Grave. And I just received his DVDs, the one that's called Children of the Grave and the one called Spooked. Let me tell you guys something about this video, these DVDs, these videos. It is absolutely phenomenal. I've never seen so much installed in this program, especially one called Children of the Grave. We watched it. My wife and I watched it. My wife's kind of a person who's actually quite a skeptic, but you know what? When she saw this, she was quite shocked. And this particular one, it took place in an area where basically they've gone into different places where this one here actually is based on, I believe, it's about 600 children. That 680 children that had died, and there's a grave site. Very haunted in different locations. Some are sanitariums, some are actually schools, some were, these are all shut down places. And also they went to this place, and I can't remember what it was, but another place actually went up to the bush, which actually was very haunted. And they actually had the photograph of these kids. There was actually a guy who was one of the camera guys in there, and he actually took a photograph, thought he heard noises in the trees, going looking up a hill. And this was around dusk, you know, getting down almost sunset. He took the photographs, and I'm telling you, when they developed them, they saw shadow shapes of children on the top of the hill. Not just one, not just two, I would say possibly 20, 30, maybe 50, but they saw the shadow shapes on top of the hill looking down at these two guys that took the pictures. And even though they took the pictures first, they didn't see nothing with the camera, but when they developed it, they showed up. I mean, I'm telling you, it's absolutely phenomenal. These places are, you know, when these guys go deep into the, you know, like one called the Pythian Castles, and if you haven't seen the movie, order it. If it has been on television, let me know, because, you know, I'll tell you one thing, you guys will be actually totally shocked when you see some of these things. A lot of kids actually died from TB, and some of them, and this particular one, that 680 children died, was based on the tainting of the milk. It was an ether they put into the milk because they thought they could preserve the milk that way. Apparently the dairy industry did that many, many years ago. And yet they used to promote the milk to the children all the time, and then they couldn't figure out why the children were dying. Well, apparently they found out later after the research that it was the ether that was put in the milk that caused the poisoning of the children, the slowly poisoning of the children. That's the reason why a lot of them died. The shocking part of it was not one child ever had a name when they buried them on this site, right behind the buildings. They only gave them numbers. Every child had a number, not a name. And a lot of times, too, the mothers and the parents used to drop off the children to these orphanages. That's what they mostly were, orphanages. And apparently most of them never came back. The mothers never came back to get them because most after that in time, the children would die. And the records, apparently, most of the records were not really lost, but somehow disappeared. So a lot of research had to be taking place. So the government, apparently, they wanted to do some research regarding what the government had hidden away, or they threw the records away so that these children were not to be researched, so to speak. I was shocked to know that sometimes we do have these people that are in that work for the government back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and possibly the 70s, would throw away the files of these children that actually have died and never kept those files. There was another place that these guys also researched, did paranormal investigating in, was this particular building. I can't remember what it's called, but it was. You have to really see this for yourself. It had spirit children inside this particular building. I believe it was 2 or 3 stories. Again, another type of orphanage. Before that, it was actually used for a base for the military, where they used to execute or even torture soldiers during the Second World War, including the Germans. But in the time period around the late 50s or 60s, there was actually a man who used to be the caretaker or the janitor of the place. And apparently he was quite fond of children, not in a very good way. When he died, his ghost, his evil spirit, actually roams that place. So whenever you challenge him, he tries to put a good scare in you. And you got to see these photographs. You got to see the video itself. The video itself is called Children of the Grave. It is a true story. These guys are part of the creators of Spooked. It's been on the Sci-Fi Channel. Those of you who actually live in the States get the Sci-Fi Channel. We in Canada do not get it. I wish we did. I wish we can get it, but we don't get it. Anybody who actually does get it on the Sci-Fi Channel there, please watch it. It is absolutely phenomenal. If you want to record it, go and record it. It is, you know, keep it for yourself. If you want to order it, contact and go to the website, and you can list, just write the word down on Google search engine, write down Children of the Grave, or you can also go down to writing the word Spooked, S-P-O-O-K-E-D, and that's, these are the ghosts of Waverly Hills Sanitarium. Sanatorium, I keep on saying sanitarium. You know, when you're in Canada, you hear the word sanitarium more than sanatorium. My mother used to work in a sanatorium where a lot of the First Nations people were sick a lot, especially with TB, and my mother used to always have to take care of them too. She was a nurse in her, or a nurse's aide or a nurse, I believe. I mean, this is in Brandon, Manitoba, so it's, you know, we always are involved in some sort of past and path. And the one in Spooked, the Ghost of Waverly Sanitarium, they actually have, there's this particular building. It's in Waverly Hills Sanatorium. Actually, it's in Kentucky. Those of you may know the story, but it's taken in Kentucky. They did about 2 months worth of work or 3 months worth of work, about 16 hours a day, doing the paranormal investigating in this buildings. They did a lot of shifts coming on, going off, doing a lot of photography, a lot of filming, you name it, even trying to make contact with spirits. And they actually used a little plastic ball, so to speak, inflated ball, and they let it roll on the floor in one room, and it sat there for a little while, for about a few minutes, and then the next thing you know, you start to see the ball moving. It was a little 10-year-old boy that was playing with it, so he's moving it around a lot. There's actually 5 floors in this building, and they also said they saw a girl with no eyes, and that's quite interesting when they saw her with no eyes. So anybody who would say to me, like, I remember telling me one time they actually see people that have no eyes. The recent ones I learned from spirit myself, when you work with spirits and they have no eyes, that means that those people themselves have been murdered. That's why they show no eyes. Doesn't always mean they show eyes, but my understanding, because I actually worked with a client whose spirit, if you look at it, here's one for example. There was actually a paranormal show. It was on about a year ago, and they had investigated. They wanted to actually make contact with John Lennon, the spirit of John Lennon. And when John made his appearance on the television in spirit, his spirit, yes, did show up on television. And everything, I mean, his looks, everything was exactly the way it was when he passed away, but he did not show any wearing glasses. But his eyes were no eyes. They were black. They were shadow eyes. Then I had a client come and see me a while back, and they said that they saw this little girl in spirit come, and they look at her. She was so afraid of this little girl coming in her room. She looked at her square in her bed, and she said she saw no eyes. And then when they said here in this movie called Spooked, where the documentary that was made, they said they saw a girl with no eyes. I believe this is basically what this means. This is my understanding of it. I believe this child was actually murdered, and that's the reason why she shows no eyes. And there actually have been a few other paranormal investigating videos that I have seen where there have been spirits that have walked through the rooms, and our ghosts, you can call them, that showed no eyes. So these things do happen. But apparently in this, the ghost of Waverly Hills Sanatorium, there's over 68,000 people that died of TB. 68,000. That is quite a bit. You know, interviewing Chris and having to watch part of the video, I didn't completely finish Spooked, and I actually want to finish it off because I just got this a few days ago. It was mailed to me, but I got a chance to finish, to get a chance to watch Children of the Grave. It is absolutely phenomenal. It make you cry in a way. I feel so sad for those kids. You know, there was so much abuse in some parts of it, what happened in the past. These guys have done a phenomenal job. Not just Chris Booth himself, but his twin brother also helped put this thing together. There are other people who helped assist on this program who are well known in the community. John Zaffis, for one, he's well known in the paranormal investigating. He's part of it. We have Keith Age, Rosemary Allen Gilley, and Troy Taylor, Stephen LaChance. These are guys that are part of the Paranormal Task Force. There's so much happening in this program. Like I said, you'll be totally floored. I thought I'd share that with you. And then they sent me an advert, which is cool. Now, another reason why they're involved doing this paranormal investigating, because they decided to make a movie out of it. I mean, a movie, which they put a story to it. And it's called The Death Tunnel, which is a movie, called Death Tunnel, the movie, which there is a death tunnel in this hospital. And they used to take the TB patients that are dying or have died down this tunnel. And this tunnel would lead it to the railroad station, trains, and then they would dump the bodies down in there, and then they'd take the bodies away and burn them. Some they didn't do that. Apparently, I hear they actually buried them in out back somewhere. So it depends on everyone that is telling the story, hearing the story. So you got to figure out what you would think yourself. I mean, my understanding is what I'm seeing. But they actually made a movie about it. And it's quite interesting. Now, yeah, I like to know what the death story is all about. So, if any of you guys actually want to go to that site, please listen in, or please go to that page. It's absolutely phenomenal, because they also did. And they also, now do I have a caller here? Have a caller?
Yeah, you do have a caller.
Okay, who am I speaking to? Where are you from?
I'm an energy healer.
Your first name again is?
I'm an energy healer.
Yes.
And basically, when you study the issue very deeply, you find out there's no doubt that spirits exist. And that's absolutely correct. But the spiritualists got caught in that trap because they proved that there was something beyond their mundane reality.
Yep.
But on the other hand, true spiritualism, like Buddhism or anything like that, is learning how to avoid to get caught in the traps that these earthbounds have been caught in. And it's very important to know that that is the case. And if you study enough, you see there are zillions of examples of it, and it cannot be denied.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, now, even the doctors are starting to recognize that there are books out where people do rapid eye movement sleep, and now rapid eye movement things to release trauma, and they get to talk to the spirits of the people they accidentally killed, and they make get forgiveness, and there's stuff, all sorts of stuff about channel, about people who connect with the earthbounds.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the earthbounds are earthbounds, and they're not very spiritually connected. That's the problem. If they were, they could get beyond that. So they don't have a message to give us, because they haven't gotten there either. They actually need help. The idea is, how do we help them?
Well, part of it, too, if you remember, if you think about it, a lot of these children have died traumatically, and they have no understanding why they've died.
Oh, actually, this is an atheistic society, basically.
Yeah.
And we don't believe in an afterworld in general. And so to go through the cycle and find out you're dead, most people believe that's the end of it.
Yes, they do. Some people do, and even in certain religions as well.
Oh, absolutely. Christianity is particularly that way because of the fact that they say you either go to heaven or hell.
Yes.
Now, other teachings say that there's a number of other places you can go. But at any rate, we have no idea how to deal with the afterlife. And so people get lost there because we don't go into the other aspects of it. And the goal is to get out of the trap, because the whole world is moving into a trap. That if we don't avoid the trap, it's going to destroy us all, and everybody knows it.
What trap do you think is causing an issue?
Well, first of all, the greenhouse effect. We're running out of oil, and the United States has been basically sold to China. You study all the economic issues. You look at all sorts of things. I don't want to arouse paranoia. Fear is always a negative issue. But I have studied all of those issues intensively. And basically, we cannot sustain our lifestyle that we are doing. And it's like my mother says, well, We were the accomplished generation. We got the pension plans. We got everything we wanted. And we're going to die before the whole thing collapses. And we don't give a damn. And you guys just need to take care of what the problems are. And whatever they are, too bad we won't be around. Unfortunately, they will. Because you are reincarnated. Now, the earthbounds haven't moved into reincarnation yet. And they haven't moved into the next level of development they need. And so they need to be saved from that development because they don't need to be stuck in the place where they are right now. But they never had any teachings or any experience or any guidance to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then they're stuck with spiritual guidance. And frankly, around here, there ain't many people who can give it to them. I mean, I can do some of it, but on the other hand, I can't see them. I can't hear them. I can just feel them.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been onto a paranormal site? Have you done any paranormal investigating yourself?
Yeah, I've done some.
With some people or by yourself?
It was the place that a murder was, and I actually identified the coal spots where the murderer shot the victim. I identified where the victim was shot. I identified where the drug dealer stored his drugs. I identified where he did the dealing. They didn't know anything about the site at all. And so, I do some of that, but on the other hand, I'm very imprecise in the sense that I just report energy sensations, and I'm not good at interpretations.
Yeah?
I just say there's a cold energy there. I've actually felt a spirit in my hand, and my foster son, he usually spied on us, and he came into the room, and he kept looking, but he wasn't looking at us. He was looking in the opposite direction. He did it like 9 times. And I said, Alan, usually you're spying on us. You're not spying on us. You're looking over in the exact opposite direction over at that couch. What is on that couch? And he said, I see an old lady on the couch. And he said, I'm afraid. I think it means there's some spirit coming through to tell me that they've died or something. So he wasn't, it means he'd read some stuff about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went over, and I felt the spot. And I said, you know, it feels like 15 degrees cooler here than any place else. And there was another person there who actually can do some energy stuff himself. And he went over and felt it, and he said, this person is like a woman. I can feel a woman's body. Well, I couldn't feel that precisely, but he felt that. And so then I opened up I'm good at opening up people's third eyes, their throat chakras. And I said, hi, look, that's my wife, my former wife. And can you hear what this person wants to say? And the person said, first of all, I want you to tell them to quit fondling me. The second thing is I used to live here and I just came here for a visit. I wanted to see how my house was doing. This was not an earthbound. This was just somebody paying a visit. We got the house because it was a very high energetic house because I always feel off the energy of everything. I usually don't know what the energy means. I just know it's good or bad. And I do energy healing by pulling out the stuff that's obstructing the life force. I don't talk to the shit because if you talk to the shit, you absorb it into yourself. And then you got to get rid of it, and that's a real nuisance.
Yeah.
Dealing with negativity within your own body is a real problem, you know. I haven't succeeded in doing that entirely. But actually, we need to have a research establishment that goes into the whole thing. We need to have people who are working with each other.
Why don't you establish one?
Actually, because I've never been able to succeed in getting cooperation from anybody, I would love to do that. In many prior lifetimes, I've been tortured to death in inquisitions because none of my supporters would stand beside me. And so I'm waiting for supporters to stand beside me. I will do anything for the people who support me.
Yeah.
Without even receiving a cent, and most of my energy work is done without a cent. But on the other hand, this is America. You can't make anything thrive unless you have money. And nobody respects you unless you have money. And so, I wish I could. I wish I might. It's like the old thing about the star. I've been betrayed so many times. And I actually think that it was a long time ago. I'm an energy source. And the initiated orders, which are much more binding then and much more constrictive, and they just try to take control of the people who had the power when they're very young and steal the power and convert the power to their own purposes, actually blocked off a lot of channels of the powerful people, and that lasted through lifetime after lifetime. And they made it where the people who had the power to change things were restricted.
Yeah.
And so I feel restricted in that way, because I would love to do that. It's just I've never had anybody I could relax around. I can never have anybody, because every time I tried to do that, they always ended up taking everything I had and throwing me away.
Well, I think what you need to do is to really sit down, and maybe you want to start your own organization and see what you can do from there.
I have a website called Human and Genie Activation. But on the other hand, I really don't have any ego, because I can go up to the place beyond ego. And I'm really just waiting for people to work with me and make the ultimate effort and get people to cooperate. Because I guarantee you, in this world situation that we are in, unless there is a collective group consciousness effort going on to change the situation, we're all going to be lemmings driven off of hell over the cliff. And we need
We'll all be able to take care of ourselves if we need to know which path we need to take. And I can thank you for calling.
Together.
Okay?
Because everybody has their own insight.
Anybody there? Okay. I guess our caller hung up. Okay. Yes, I mean, there are so many things out there that people have, I want to say, so many things and so many criticisms that they are trying to let the people know what's going on. And, you know, we are trying, a lot of us are quite upset with what the federal government's done to other people. And sometimes we shut our eyes, we don't want to see, and we don't know what to do next sometimes. And also, you know, even if this man feels that if these children have been blocked, and or they think that they're still stuck there and forever and ever and ever, their spirit has made that decision. And so it's all we can do, really. It's all up to us what we believe that will benefit others. But we're trying to use it in a way that we want to help others and find out. Because basically, what really paranormal investigating really means is the research. You really want to find out, you know, does this person that has passed, or these people that passed, or is there actually anything in this house that actually exists that still stays in the ether of time? And because you got to use science once in a while. That's the reason why we use the electronics, electronic gadgets, which is either an EVP, electronic voice phenomena machine. You can also use cameras that are digital or even common cameras, tape recorders, even with the real type tape recorder, different kinds of machinery that will evaluate temperature, energy from spirits that are around the room. So the thing is that there's so many little gadgets we can carry around. It's almost like the things if you're in Star Trek, you know, you think about it. And you're trying to find out if spirits do exist. And the thing is that, you know, first of all, in years ago, back in the 1700s, 1800s, there was a lot of people that were also investigating if spirits do exist. And there were, and the only ones they'd actually depend upon were the mediums, or they didn't call them mediums then, but they used to call them spirit talkers, or they would call them shamans, or they would call them witches at times. They'd call them something for their own, and sometimes like Merlin magicians, you know, wizards, or whatever they could use to say, can this person talk to the dead? And to see, but the thing is that there's, you got to have, either you believe the person or you don't believe them, and you're trying to find the proof. You know, is the proof in the pudding, or do you want, oh, here's one good thing for you. Or actually, is it really true that these spirits do exist? Until we came up with electronics. And if it wasn't for Alexander Graham Bell at the beginning to learn how to use the telephone, because basically he had the interest of wanting to talk to the dead through communications. And this is where they actually have a new system that's made up, that was made by Alexander Graham Bell, called Frank's Box. And it's a black box about, I believe it's 12 by 12 by 18 inches tall. And it is a communicator through spirits where actually the dead would actually talk through it. Now, here's something that actually should be used in this particular building. You know, if you're doing your paranormal investigating, you would sure get a lot of response back by using this box. And, well, I'm not too sure if the parabolic dish does really work. I mean, someone's asking this chat room, does a parabolic dish really work? It depends. It depends. I mean, I can't really get total proof if it does really work or not. But, you know, I believe myself, if you feel there is something there that's in this room or in the room that you're in or your home, and if it does really, if you feel it works, then follow through with it. If it doesn't really work to you, if you don't think it does actually mean anything to you, you can another way you can do it too is you turn on the TV to talk to the dead, if you have one, especially in your home. It's turn on your TV and turn to a station that's not being used. So basically you're getting this white noise. Try that, and then turn the volume up and turn all your lights out and start talking to the people who are in the room. They will actually try to use their voice coming through the television, or they'll respond back to you. I've seen it done. White noise does really exist. The Research Society are... Research Society thought... They're going to try and see if they get more proof out of this. So they're going to try the television idea and electronical programs. And it's going to benefit others to find out if white noise does exist. The only thing I didn't care for at the very end of the movie, White Noise, is where they killed off the guy and said some bad guys came through and broke his legs and broke his arms and threw him down the pit, which is not true. It has no meaning whatsoever. But... I would say, like I said, television does work. I know it does because I've seen it done. And one day I will be traveling back to Winnipeg, Manitoba. I'm not going to say too long from now. And do some paranormal investigating up there as well. I am working on doing a television series, doing a cross-Canada television series where it's basically we'd be doing paranormal investigating. It is being worked on right now as we speak. We have our production together. So we've already started a few weeks back. I did investigate the old spaghetti factory. You know, that was quite the interesting part of it. We have the old spaghetti factory that is haunted in the Gastown area in the middle of Vancouver, or at the end of the old area of Vancouver, British Columbia. And they, when we were there, I mean, I never was there long enough to really investigate enough presence of spirits, but I did find some presence of spirits. Being there, I started from about 5 in the morning on up to about 10 a.m. is when we left the place. I didn't actually leave the place at 10. We left after the show shut down. We had the radio show, 94.5. We're fabulous people. Nira Aurora, Kid Carson, and Amy Beeman. These guys are absolutely phenomenal. They're called The Beat, 94.5. And I'd like to thank them for inviting me to be part of the Halloween special. We actually did this October 31st. And that was really good. I had a lot of fun doing it. We did some paranormal investigating. And so we met a fellow there by the name of Martin, who's also in the medium. And he was there on a different program, meeting with the manager of the restaurant. And so I introduced Martin to the 94.5 guys and told him, I said, you know, you should have Martin come on and he can tell you his story. And the reason why I invited Martin, because he's from the U.K., and Martin does a lot of paranormal investigating in the U.K., and he just came to Canada, so he's here to do some paranormal investigating. So they made a proposal with the restaurant again. So they're going to go from there from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., I believe, or 7 a.m., to see if there's any more activity in the building. So I'd like to wish these guys good luck on their journey. And they're going to take the 94.5 group with them again and see what happens. But when we were there, I mean, I got this thing on tape, on disc. I mean, if it wasn't for Keith Dayton, my camera guy, good friend, we would not have been able to get some of the stuff in there. But we played it. There is some activity. We noticed that because the spoon, or everybody was jumping pretty well up and down. And we watched a couple of forks spin around the table. We had some people calling in, so I got some emails from people saying that maybe with the train, because the train was driving by, they figured the train spun those forks. There's no way. The train was down there, not even moving, not at 6 in the morning. And so, you know, we're always trying to find answers. So a lot of people like to try and see if they can prove, no matter what, would exist. And I'm looking forward to when I was in there. I'm going to forget this part here, too. When I was in there, I walked around, and I said to Keith, well, I told the guys there, actually, where Martin was, I kept seeing a bunch of women sewing in this back of this building, like as if there's rows, like two rows of women. But I'm going to go back in time, back in the late 1800s, where they were sewing. I found out later there's actually old antique sewing machines that they actually used the lower part of the legs to make into tables in this restaurant. So it possibly, my understanding is, I think that because of the antiques brings energy to the house. So if anybody actually does have antiques in your home, doesn't always mean it's family that it's passed over, unless these antiques belong to your family. But sometimes you buy an antique piece of furniture and you bring it to your house, guaranteed you're going to have possibly some activity due to, because you could possibly be connected to that as well, related to it. You have to do a lot of major research to make sure what you feel is connected to it. Also, when you do parallel investigating, recently, well, like I said, with the 945 guys, it was funny. Some parts of it, we got near the two chairs, one chair slid over, and one chair behind Nira hit her in the bum while she was watching this other thing, looking at the other thing happening. It was absolutely fabulous. Nobody was standing behind her either, so they try to get your attention. I've never seen people grab each other like, screaming. But it was good. I really thank the spirits for actually making themselves present. There have been people that have actually, we've had a lot of witnesses in the restaurant that had been there, said they actually saw a spirit of a boy walk in the bathroom, women's bathroom. They saw a spirit of a girl in the women's bathroom. I indicated there was a spirit of a girl in the place. I didn't feel that she was actually connected to this time period. I think she had felt she was connected way back in the late 1800s. What I did understand, found out later, that there actually, where the old spaghetti factory used to be, was actually a busy little town, village, where a lot of businesses took place and whatever it was at the time, like a market, that kind of thing. So people, and this is back in the late 1800s, before it became a really hustle and bustle of a new program. And you got to be there to see it. So if anybody who's actually lived in the area or knows about Vancouver, those who listen to the show, please, please go down to the old spaghetti factory and experience yourself, because in the very far back of the area, the restaurant, just tell them Derek White Sky Club sent you, because you'll know exactly where to go. There's also actually a very high energized, I guess you'd say, either you call it a ley line or a high energy spot. And you can actually stand in there and you feel like you're drunk, because that's what the energy does. It makes you feel really, really strange when you step inside of it. So it's like a vortex, you can, whatever you want to call it, but it is that high energy centered area. And I would check it out if I were you. It's worthwhile to go down there and check it. And you want to also, another place that I would find is very paranormal activity is up in Britannia Beach, which is, you take the Sea to Sky Highway from Vancouver heading out to Squamish. I got some friends up there. They're called the CRS Trading Post, the CRS Trading Post. Actually, they sell native arts and crafts, carvings of all sorts, and the guys' names are Sue and Rudy. And you got to go there. You'd be surprised. Up the upstairs area, this building is so old that they're in, and they're on the main floor, but upstairs in the auditorium, apparently I've been told it's quite haunted too. So one day you should go up there and take a look for yourself. But if you want to go down and see Sue and Rudy and see their arts and native arts and crafts, my art is in there too, by the way. It is a gallery, so they're really fabulous to be there. They're called Britannia Beach, so they're located on the Sea to Sky Highway. There are some really neat spots that are actually very haunted, and in that area as well as Squamish, in Vancouver, especially some of the old spots, lower part of the old area, older areas of Vancouver. And sometimes, actually, I was just talking to some people who I know, friends up in Mission. They took some photographs themselves. They actually been on some old places, old sites, and they've actually had some paranormal activity. Some of them are magnetic, which basically you can actually, you're standing on this ley line, magnetic ley line, that your body can actually lean backwards and you don't even fall. You can actually tilt your body back without falling. It's as if your feet are glued to the ground and it's holding you while you're somehow, you look as if you're unbalanced, but you're actually standing crooked. It's quite interesting how it works out. Also, we have in BC some other haunted areas I'm not going to share with you right now, because that's actually kept a secret until we actually have the program start recorded. But there's some pretty interesting spots that I would say that was going to pull some hairs in the back of your hair and the back of your neck and make you feel that you should be there. Now, anybody wants to call in, toll-free number, 604, my number, 1-877-876-5227. Anybody calling for any mediumship messages from me, want to get a reading, I'm more than welcome to listen to you. Those calling from Canada, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And international phones is 530-876-3222. 530-876-3222. It's been a very strange week. I went through some pretty phenomenal healing myself as well. We actually interviewed Joanne Giroux last week, and she's quite the lady. She can actually, she knows her stuff, and ever since she's helped me deal with my past life energy that was connected to a lot of people and all the work that I've done in the past, even from healing people, ever since she's gone through a clearance with me on this machine that she put on me, I'm telling you, totally phenomenal. My body has felt so empty inside. I feel like I've got rid of all the stuff I dealt with in the past, all empty. You know, I feel as if your tank is empty, but you feel pretty good about it. And it feels good. I thought I'd share that with you. There are other paranormal shows that I've been watching. I watched in the past, and they picked on a few of the guys in there. I know they try to change the movies so much. Amityville Horror, for one. I got a friends of mine that are with other radio stations on the that are paranormal investigators. Actually, have known these guys for a long, long time, and. The fellow who passed away, who owned that house that was involved with the Amityville issue, he passed away early this year. And I had apparently, there was a paranormal group apparently came from Vancouver or said that they believed that the Amityville Horror was a fake, that nothing was for real. Well, let me share something with you folks. Anybody listening to the show who knows these guys from the Vancouver Paranormal Investigators, they're wrong in that part. Because basically, this place was haunted. There's a lot of dark activity there. And there is actually a lot of people that are very legit. Ed Warren and his wife are the ones that are at that site. Ed has passed away. This year he passed away as well, early part of the year. His wife is still apparently, as far as I understand, she's still doing the work. A lot of people have been out there doing paranormal investigating and have been involved. John Zaffis is one of the men that actually was there on site. So pretty well he can tell you the truth. I mean, John would never lie. And so if anybody ever tells you they don't know what they're talking about or they think this is a made-up story, you guys have never been there long enough to understand what's going on. And don't forget, too, sometimes when time goes by, residue begins to fade out. So whoever has been coming into these houses or locations could possibly have been trying to heal the house or heal the spirits that once were there in the past. This is way back in the 60s when Amityville actually, 60s and 70s, when Amityville actually did take place. So once in a while in time, these little places begin to heal. Now, this man that called earlier today said also, too, now, why don't people go down there and start to work with the spirits and help them go into the spirit world? Well, you know, maybe they don't want to yet. Maybe they, as far as they're concerned, this is all they believe in, that they don't know what the light means. You know, basically, you go into the white light. There are some belief systems that people believe that when you go to, if you see some sort of light, that represents hell to them. You know, they think the word hell and damnation, that's fear. And also, too, the children, when they pass away, they don't understand. All they understand is the ether, their ether of energy of fear and fear of death and trauma. So it depends on the situation, what we go through. And I feel that what my experiences are, that at times it's going to take time to heal a group of spirits, even sometimes one at a time, whether they decide to go into the side, into the light and go through the healing process. You can't just do the whole room in one night, believe the whole thing is over, because it's not. I'm telling you, it doesn't work that way. That's years and years and years. Don't forget, guys, here's a sanatorium that's been around for a long time. And some of them really believe they've gone through the light, but 68,000 people in the sanatorium have not. Not every one of them have gone through. Maybe most of them have, but not all of them. Because why would those other children in that location suddenly show up at the top of the hill with their shadow? Wait till you see the movie. See you'll see the photographs. Go to the site, spooked. I'm telling you, you guys will be totally floored. As well, when you get involved in paranormal investigating, or if you want to try it yourself, always go in pairs. Don't go by yourself sometimes, because you can actually do some more damage than good. You guys want to go to a graveyard or whatever you want to check out as far as paranormal investigating is concerned, make sure you get permission before you jump on that piece of land and say, okay, let's do this without them asking, because you never know. If you ever got hurt on site, you got no one to blame but yourself. I know. Not myself, but I've seen other people get hurt, and they'll say, well, I'm going to sue this place. No, you can't. You never got permission. The thing is that when you investigate, make sure you check it out first before, and do the history. Check the place out before if you ever hear stories about it. And sometimes your stories don't always mean factual. Especially with the old spaghetti factory that I actually investigated, there was so much rumor, and I didn't understand whether it was actually rumor at all, but I was told that there was a train station under the old spaghetti factory. I found out later there was not a train station there at all. Now, that's according to one person. And yet, I understood that under the building itself is the lumber that's connected to the bridge, to a bridge that was actually in another location of British Columbia that collapsed where a train went over. And I feel what may have happened is that very same lumber was brought here, as you call recycled, and brought out in that area, which actually brings the energy of that catastrophe in the past. So you got to do your research, making sure you know what feels right, because at times people have changed the ether or changed the history by moving things around. Because moving a piece of lumber where it has been through tragedy is like same thing, where a piece of antique furniture has come into your home and you wonder why all of a sudden there's activity. And most of the time what we end up doing, I've come across so many grave sites that have actually been torn apart, not used anymore as grave sites. They put condos on them, or houses, or industry, or industrial sites. And then they wonder why their business failed. The land has never been blessed. They don't get a priest or a minister out there to bless the land before he even build anything on it. And why should they bother to build a house on a grave site when you already got somebody planted underneath the bloody earth already? It doesn't make any sense. But these guys figure, well, we have no room for these cemeteries, or, you know, we need to make more space for more living than the dead, so we'll just basically, if we don't move the bodies, we'll just, you know what their theory is? To wait for about 50 years or more, or 75 years or 100 years, then they'll make a decision by saying, okay, we don't need this anymore, we'll just put a house on it. They're making all these bloody new rules, and I will say the word bloody, because it is ridiculous. New rules that they can actually just tear up the ground and put on a house or condo or whatever they want to put on their industrial site is heart-wrenching, because here is your ancestor, your relative that was buried there. All of a sudden they move it over and say, well, the times change. Got to move the dead. The dead only remembers where they're laid. Their spirit still walks with them in that very same spot. So if anybody ever sees a spirit walking through a brand-new building, trust me, you probably may have built your building or apartment on top of a cemetery, because I have actually come across people, even in the States, who have said to me and asked the very same question. I got someone who's passed away walking straight through the apartment, walking through one wall to the other side of the wall. Gee, I wonder why. And yet they're not staying in the apartment, just passing through. So this happens. We get people like that in spirit, walking through. And sometimes that's always mean that actually they had trauma in their life that passed over. Maybe because they're unsettled knowingly that their grave site was moved. That happens sometimes. People have a belief system. Those are in spirit. Even including our Aboriginal people, sometimes they believe, most of them believe that you have to be buried, or not buried at all, but you are placed outside the grave site, but you also called a sacred site, a sacred burial ground where everyone was placed there. And the bones were, the bones actually, they disintegrated slowly onto the earth. Well, that's where we use a famous phrase, ash to ashes, dust to dust. It wasn't always what's in the earth, sometimes it was always on top of the earth. But they consider it a very sacred area because most of the time there's actually sacred grounds that actually belong to the very very powerful medicine men. And they don't want their medicine to mix up with the people that are innocent because they may feel it may hurt them. That's why we never walk on sacred grounds unless it's absolutely permitted by someone. I've also had people who actually play with Ouija boards. And I still hear the same stories all the time. Look, guys, Don't let your kids play with Ouija boards. It's rather dangerous. I'm sorry, but it's true. It's dangerous. I've had so many situations where there's children, even grown up to teenagers, are also dealing with drug and alcohol addictions, and they don't know why. They feel the need just to give up on life. Why? I asked them the question, have you played with a Ouija board? How old? And if they said yes, how old were you? 10, 12, yes. And where's the Ouija board? Well, Mom and Dad's house in the attic. And where are you living? With Mom and Dad. You ever play with that board anymore? No, but it's still there, I think. Next thing you know, whether it's in the basement, upstairs, it's in the house. Get it out of the house. You get a priest, you get a minister to bless, to put holy water on that Ouija board, and you bury it. Don't burn it, you bury it. Get rid of it. If you don't know how to use Ouija boards properly, do not try and talk to the dead unless you know how to do it yourself. I've had a friend I've known from school years and years ago, 30 years ago, used to take a dime, and they would try to channel the dead on a, I'm not kidding you, this is a true story, try to contact the dead by placing their finger on a dime, a coin, on top of a tombstone to make contact with that loved one or that person on the tombstone to see if they get any activity. 30 years ago, they'd do this. I looked at them and said, you guys nuts? It doesn't work that way. You're going to end up doing more harm than good. People got so unsettled for quite a few nights after they kept playing with that. They learned a lesson not to do it ever again. Anyways, folks, we're getting close to closing. So actually, in the meantime, in between time, we'll talk to you next week. The guest coming on next week. And this is Derek White, Sky Cloud on Between Two Worlds. It's been fabulous talking to you, folks. Take care. Bye.